If you were here last week, I let you know in on a secret that not many people know about me. So those of you that were not here last week, I'm going to let you in on a shocker. Okay, grab hold of your seat. It's going to blow your mind. If you were not here last week, it's going to blow your mind. If you were not here last week, hold on to something, because I'm telling you, it's going to rock your world. Are you ready? I'm serious. I'm serious. It's going to shock you, and it's going to, like, you're not going to believe it. This pastor is a worshiper. I told you it was going to, like, rock your world, didn't I? Okay, there it is. One of the songs we sang a while ago, because I get into the music sometimes. I get into the words and what the words mean, and sometimes they speak to me and just moves me. And there's one of the songs that we sing that, see, this is not part of my notes. This is just free and extra. No more ordinary. I won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. You see, there's a lot of churches that do a lot of ordinary. Matter of fact, if you have a blue bulletin, if you have one, stick it up in the air. Okay. A lot of churches, I mean, we still have bulletins and we hand them out. A lot of churches still print out their order of service in there and list the songs and all that kind of stuff. And we stopped doing that a long time ago because we found out that what if we wanted to do something different? And what if the Spirit was really moving and we felt bound by the paper and God was wanting to do something extraordinary and we were bound by the ordinary and we didn't want to be stuck with ordinary. And so we took all that stuff out a long, long time ago. But a lot of people are stuck in ordinary. They go to church, they know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to sing this number of songs. They're going to have a prayer at this particular time. This is going to happen. The preacher's going to pick up where he left off, or, you know, whatever. And then that's fine. There's nothing wrong with preaching through. As a matter of fact, that's a great way to preach. Okay? But they know exactly what to expect. They know who's going to sing the next special. They know, and there's nothing wrong with that, folks. Except you get stuck in a rut. And it becomes ordinary, becomes mundane. You know what to expect. Let me tell you something. With God, you never know what to expect. And I don't want us to come to a church knowing what to expect, because God doesn't operate that way. God is not in a box. He's not in the box. So I don't want to be satisfied with ordinary, because my God is not an ordinary God. I want to be surprised by the extraordinary, because my God is an extraordinary God. Last week we began looking at Dolan Baptist Church and what we kind of, who we are. All right, and we began talking about the key passages of Scripture that kind of define us as a church. We looked at Matthew chapter 22. That says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandments in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And from that we get our motto, love the Lord your God first and love your neighbor as yourself. And then we kind of even built our logo around that, love your God and love others. Love up and love out. That's kind of our motto, love up and love out. That's where that comes from. Love up, love God, and love out, love one another. And the second passage of Scripture is Matthew 28, 18 through 20, that says, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. How could Jesus say that? He's God. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, because he has all authority, he's given a command. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Out of these two passages, we get four things. To love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's worship. That's worship. Expressing our love to God. That's worship. We just did that. God, we love you so much. Come, fill us up. Fill this place. We love you. We honor you. We recognize what you've done for us. That's worship. We express that to him. That's worship. To love your neighbor as yourself. That's ministry. 2 weeks ago, we had over 50 volunteers out in that gym, passing out water, sitting out in the heat, cooking sausages, washing people's feet, putting on shoes, guiding people around, passing out backpacks, filling them with groceries, carrying groceries out to their car. And for weeks before that, we had people sorting shoes, filling backpacks, unpacking and packaging up food, and getting water and icing it down and all that kind of stuff. Cleaning the gym, getting it all set up, setting out tables, setting up chairs. We had all kinds of people getting all ready just for that event, just so that we could put shoes on over 200 people's feet. And give backpacks to school kids. And fed over how many? Over 774 people with groceries. Wow. Folks, that's ministry. Loving people. Loving people. That's ministry. Love your neighbors yourself. Go and make disciples. You know what that is? That's evangelism. Go. Tell the good news. Make disciples. That's evangelism. The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus came and he died to pay the price that nobody could pay. Nobody in this world could pay it because nobody's a perfect person and it takes a perfect sacrifice to cover the sin. Only one perfect person, Jesus Christ. And guess what? He died to cover your sin. And guess what? We've all sinned. Everybody. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. It doesn't take a big sin to make capital punishment in God's eyes. God says sin is sin. Big, little, it doesn't make any difference. It's all sin. He says the wages of sin is death. And Jesus said, I'll pay that price for everyone who will accept. Because God says, it is not my desire that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus said, I'll do it. I'm perfect. I'll do it. I'll pay that price, and anybody that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the gospel. And then to teach them all things, that's discipleship. That's discipleship. Four great things that the church is about. We believe in the great commandment and the great commission. We believe that'll grow our church. Then we talked about, I'm kind of giving a refresher course the last week before I dive into this week because it's paramount that we understand these things. To encounter God's presence through worship. To engage God's body in membership. To encourage God's love, that's ministry. To express God's word is evangelism. And to equip God's people is discipleship. Last week we talked specifically about worship. And in Matthew 4:10, Jesus says, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And you see, this is the deal. We looked at that verse very specifically. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That is a command. We talked about, if I tell my daughter, Erin, take out the trash. And if she says that to me, what she just said, no, there are consequences for that. And she ends up taking the trash anyway and paying the consequences. Okay? Because it is a command. It's not a suggestion. I didn't say, honey, if you feel like it, would you please take out the trash? And if not, no big deal. It's a command. Take out the trash. Turn left here. Give me a hug. Go to bed now. Hang up the phone now. Right? Get off FaceTime now. See, those are commands. Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only is a command. See, worship is not a suggestion, folks, for God's people. It is a command. He tells us, worship. Not if you feel like it. Not if you need it. He says, do it. The thing is, if we love God, we want to. Okay? But it is a command. Worship. We talked about some expressions of worship in Scripture. Singing. A commitment is an expression of worship. Praying. Hearing the Word of God. Giving. Baptism. We had baptism last week. Meditating and participating in the Lord's Supper. All activities of worship. And there are others. This is not an exhaustive list. And then also looked at, from Scripture, postures of worship. And these are all found in Scriptures. I only picked out seven. There are others. But I picked out seven postures of worship. We started with the head and worked down. Remember that? If you weren't here, this is new. And I'm going to be giving out, when I'm done with this, I'm going to be giving out all of this in written form, okay? Bowing the head in worship. Found in Scripture. Bowing the head. Lifting hands. Folks, it's in Scripture. It's in Scripture. I praise you. I worship you with my lifted hands. Spreading out hands. It's not the same. It's different. Clapping hands. Folks, that's in Scripture. I worship you with clapping hands. Bending the knee or bowing the knee. It's a posture of worship found in Scripture. Falling face down, prostrate. There's a difference. Prostrate is a posture of worship. Face down before the Lord. I can only imagine. You ever heard of that song? Will I dance for you, Jesus? To my knees will I fall? Will I be able to stand at all? See, he's going through different postures of worship. Face down before, and listen to this. Dancing. It's in the Scriptures. David danced before the Lord with all his might. And what do we know of David? Oh, he's a man after God's own heart. All right, man after God's own heart. And he danced before the Lord with all... Folks, he worked up a sweat. Worshiping the Lord with all his might. And then, listen to this. Then he went up to his wife. And she despised him. For worshiping the Lord with all his might. Folks, there's a lesson in that. There's a warning with that. Remember we talked about this if you were here last week? There's a warning with that. She despised David because of what he was doing before the Lord. And what happened to her? She was stricken and she was barren because she judged David for his worship. The Lord judged her. So let me tell you something. You better be careful if you start judging somebody else's worship. Like I said earlier, if you're too busy judging other people's worship, you're not worshiping God. Okay, so you got bigger problems. If you're too busy not worshiping God, you need to get yourself straight with God and start working that out with him. But anyway, that's that, that we talked about that, that worship last week. Worship, what we do here at Dolan, it's intentional. It's intentional. The praise team, Hal, or Zachary, whoever's leading on that particular day or service, they're intentional. They specifically pick out songs that work together to orchestrate, to not try to plan, but that flow. And folks, there's preparation. The praise team practices, okay? Because they want to provide a, what I call it, is they help usher us into the very throne room of God, okay? There's preparation. There's planning. But yet, with a sensitivity to the movement of the Holy Spirit. I talked about this magic box over here, right? How many times have you seen Hal or Zachary walk over here to the box because something unplanned? Okay, the Spirit's moving. This is where the music is kept. They've either run out or the Spirit's moved and said, I've got a different song I need you to play because I need these words. So they come over here and they pick it out and then they pass it out to the instrumentalist and they start doing a different song. Okay, that's unplanned. But there is some preparation. It's intentional. It's a celebration time. We honor the Lord. We celebrate. We purposely express gratitude in our worship. It's an inspiration. It inspires us and it inspires one another. Now today, I want to talk about express. We exist to express our faith in a relevant and an effective way to our generation. Now in this room we have multiple generations, right? In Acts chapter 1 verse 8 it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Amen. And you will be my witnesses, where? In Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's here, there, and everywhere. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, it says, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purposes, purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then Romans 10, verse 13 and 14. Everyone, who does that mean? Who does that not include? But who's not included in that? Nobody is not included. Right? Everyone is included. All people. For everyone, all people, everyone, everywhere, all times, who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow. Wow. How then, this is important, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one who they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? They have to be expressed to. They have to be told. And this is why our church must never stop growing. Because God loves people. Did you know that God loves people? Did you know that God loves you? Raise your hand if you know God loves you. Not everybody's raising their hand. Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, I want to tell you, God does love you. God loves you. But guess what? God loves everybody else too. Did you know that God loves everyone else even though they've not called on His name yet? He still loves them. He loves them. He wants them to be saved. God is not slow. In 2 Peter 3:9 it says, God is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you. Listen, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He doesn't want anyone to have to go to hell, folks. He wants everyone to be able to come to heaven. But the only way is through Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Some folks think that's very exclusive. I think he made it very, very plain and simple. Here's the way. You don't have to figure out a whole bunch of ways, no bunch of hoops to jump through. Here it is. One way. It's very easy, very simple. I'm it. I think he made it very simple for us. God loves people. And because God tells us to reach out. In Luke, there's a story. Jesus tells it and he says, talking about the master, he told the master, told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. Folks, that's a direct commandment for us. Go out. Tell everybody so that my house will be full. Folks, we've got empty chairs. They're waiting for people to fill them. And I've got a secret. There's a little building out back, right outside this back door to the left, where Rebecca Sunday School class is. And just to the left of that is another room. See these blue chairs? There are stacks of them in that room. So if all of these chairs get full, there are more chairs waiting. And if all those chairs that we can fit in this room get full, we've got a bigger room waiting for them. Isn't that cool? See, God has already given us resources that if we get too many people, we've already got a plan. How cool is that? And number three, it's because it's God's will. Now, I'm going to tell you why I believe that. In Colossians 2:19, it says this. He has lost connection with the head from which the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. You see, Jesus, in Matthew 16:17, it says this. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you, because when he asked him, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Whose church is it? You see, it's not our church. Dolan Baptist Church is not our church. It's Christ's church. He says, upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. There's a mindset, especially in smaller churches, that they're uncomfortable with growth. And they don't want to become, a small church doesn't want to become a medium-sized church. Medium churches don't want to become medium to large size churches. You know why? Because they're comfortable where they are. Have to learn new names. Have to figure out what to do for Sunday school space. Right? Jeff, how many did y'all have in Sunday school class this morning? How many empty seats did you have? One empty seat? How many empty seats do you have, Rebecca? None. y'all were full up? Okay, our three adult Sunday school classes were full. It is. It's a blessing. It's a good problem, but guess what? It's still a problem. Because we got to figure out where to put. I'm about to encourage you to get involved in Sunday school. I've got one chair to fill. I'm about to encourage you to get involved in Sunday school if you're not currently involved in Sunday school, okay? My problem is I got to figure out where to put you, okay? Guess what? I will find a place. You know, there's a movie out, it's an old movie. If you build it, they will come. Well, guess what? If you'll come, I'll build it. Or I'll find a place. I'll figure it out. Just come. I'm going to get there in just a second. Some unbiblical reasons people use to not grow the church. God isn't really interested in numbers. That boat don't float. God is all about numbers, folks. Well, our church really is interested in quality, not quantity. Oh, really? Who did Jesus minister when he was on the earth? If you want to start talking about quality, he went to the prostitutes, he went to the diseased, he went to the, come on now. He went to the people that the regular folks didn't want to have anything to do with. Why? Because they're people just like everybody else's people. And they need love, they need care, and God loves them, so we love them too. That makes me sick when people start categorizing people for skin color, for social economic reasons, for whatever. Folks, people are people, and that's just period. Makes me sick. I'm gonna get off that soapbox before I start. Large churches are just impersonal. That can happen. That can very well happen in large churches. But it doesn't have to happen. Doesn't have to happen. Large churches become impersonal when large churches become or choose to become impersonal. Okay, I'm not saying that I'm not saying that Dolan is going to become a large church. I'm not saying Dolan's going to become a mega church. All I'm saying is that's not my. I'm not in charge of that. All I'm saying is what we're in charge of is following God's commands, and God will take care of the numbers and do what He wants to do with the numbers. Okay? That's not my problem. My problem is only doing what God tells me to do. Your problem is only doing what God tells you to do. He tells us to go tell. Make disciples. Train them up. Right? And He'll take care of the numbers, and we'll deal with whatever that is. The other thing is we've got to do is we've got to equip them. We've got to equip one another. Folks, we're not all equipped yet. Plain and simple, we are not fully equipped yet. We exist to prepare God's people and grow them in their faith. That's us. We exist to grow each other in our faith. And that's discipleship. That's Sunday school time. That's what we talked about earlier. That's this time is part of that too. But folks, where that really happens, the nuts and bolts of what happens, is in the Bible study time. That's going to happen tomorrow night upstairs in the girls' Bible study time. Okay? That's going to happen in these small group time study times. I'm already running out of time. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Teaching them. Teaching. 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 Where does teaching happen? Small groups. This is great, but you don't get to discuss and you don't have dialogue. We try to do that on Sunday night. We try to do that on Wednesday night. But in that small group setting is when that can happen best. I'm not going to get to where I wanted to get today. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, let us not leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Let us leave the elementary teachings of Christ and go on to maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instructions about baptisms, the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgments. You see, we can't just stay on the milk. We've got to get to the meat. 2 Peter 3:17-18 says, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, Be on your guard so that you may be carried, may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now, forever, and ever. Amen. If you don't know the Word, you are susceptible. You are vulnerable to the doctrine, the teaching of anybody, anywhere, anything. And folks, there is a ton of it out there. Take a little bit of truth, add to it a lot of opinion and a lot of popularity, and you've got a grand mess, and a lot of it's being preached out there. Okay? And it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. If every bit of truth doesn't come straight from the Word of God, it's not truth at all. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Listen, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. See, that's the goal. Maturity. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God has gifted us in different manners. He's gifted teachers and pastors. How and why? To teach us, to mature us, so that we may reach maturity. If you're not sitting under teaching of teachers and pastors, you are vulnerable for not reaching maturity in Christ. Therefore, not reaching the fullness of what Christ has for you. Discipleship is so important. We exist to encourage through ministry to one another and to our world. I'm about to wrap this up for today. John 13, 35. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Folks, it is paramount that we love one another because the world is watching. The world is watching. Our world may be small, but that small world is watching how we treat one another. Every member needs to be part of discipleship. And that is Sunday school. I believe every member needs to be involved in Sunday school. I believe it. God gives us, and this is out of the different translation, and out of 1 Corinthians. Now, God gives us many kinds of special abilities or talents. There are different kinds of services to God or ministries. All of you together form one body of Christ, and each of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Each one of you is a separate but a very necessary part of the body of Christ. Every one of you is a separate but necessary part of the body of Christ. At Dolan, every member is a minister. Did you know that? We are all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everything we do is important. Every task that we do is important. And every member is an expert in some area. Every member is important in some form or fashion. Everyone has a place, and everyone has a part. Remember, Dolan Baptist is not a place, it's a people. I love babies. Absolutely love them. Dolan is focused on the person, not the program. We're not program-oriented. We're people-oriented. And we're seeking God's vision, not man's wisdom. And we're committed to your future in Christ. We're committed to their future in Christ. We're committed to people and their future in Christ. Why else would we be here? Folks, Dolan Baptist is not a holy huddle. God didn't plant us here back in 1913 just so that we could just gather together and celebrate God's love among us, not inviting anybody else in, just so that we could be all happy and get a warm fuzzy once a week. That's not why he planted Dolan Baptist Church here in this area. This area is a hard area to reach. There really is no Dolan community. Not anymore. So we've got to come up with some creative, some off the wall, I don't know, something new and fresh to reach the area. I can't even call it community. Our area. But folks, there are people off in these woods that need to be reached for Jesus. There are people in the Shepherd community, in the Tarkington community, that need to be reached for Jesus, in the Cleveland community. Wherever you are, there are people around you that need to be reached for Jesus. What are we doing if we're not doing that? What are we doing? That's why we exist. That's why we exist, folks. And we'll gather here, and we will worship, and we will get fired up, and we will get cheered up, and we will get inspired and encouraged and freshened up, and we will go out, and we'll go out with a fresh fire, and we'll do it again. We'll do it. I'll do it. Is anybody else with me? Okay. That's why we exist. We're going to teach. We're going to train. We're going to study. We're going to learn. We're going to strategize. We're going to figure it out. We're going to do it together. I'm excited. I'm excited. Again, we're going through all of this. As people join, I'm going to go through all of this in a new members class. 2, 3, 4 times a year, however, when we get enough members that join to make a class, I'm going to teach a class, and we're going to go over all this instruction. I'm not through yet. There's still another week or two left. But I wanted everybody to have an opportunity to have all of this. I don't want you to get left out. Okay? It's important stuff. You need to know what we're about. Everybody. The old, the new, everybody. Okay? You need to know, because everybody needs to be on board. Because it takes all of us. Everybody has a part. Everybody has a place. And it takes all of us working as one body to accomplish one goal. Right? Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Oh, Lord, it's a great day. And Lord, I pray from the bottom of my heart that the worship reached your nostrils as a pleasing aroma, that it was pleasing and honoring to you, Father, because that is our desire, to honor you in this place. And the truth is, Lord, Dolan Baptist is not the building. Father, this is your people. And I pray, Lord, that you felt the love today, because I believe, Father, that we love you. We know you love us. And Father, it is our desire to show you the genuineness of our love by loving your people. Loving the ones that you love. Not just the lovely, but Father, everyone. Everyone. Father, I pray specifically, Lord, as I've challenged us to get involved in discipleship, Sunday school, Bible study, whatever anyone wants to call it, I pray that you would give us wisdom and strategy on how to make it work. I pray, Lord, that there's somebody in the room that says, oh, I know how to make that happen. Here's how you do this class can go here and that, and here's how you make all that happen. Or somebody says, hey, I've just got too much money. Lord, I don't know the answer. So I'm leaning on you that you would give us that answer, how to make it happen. I know there is one. And we will find a way. And I know that you'll give it. Because it's important, Father. Because I believe, Lord, and I believe that you teach us this, the more people we move towards maturity, the more foot soldiers you have in this war, Father, for all of eternity. And that's what your desire is. So move us, shake us, get us out of our comfort zone, Father, and let us be the church that you designed us to be. Not all about us, but it's about other people. In Jesus' name, amen.